Good morning to everyone. As I said last week, I want this week to speak about Sukkot and the unique Sukkot that we're in this year. And but God willing, next week, if all goes well, I'd like to give a shiur about Rosh Hashanah without shofar, which I think is indeed very unique as well to this year. Not unique just to this year.
I took your advice. I ordered a lulav and esrog yesterday.
Pardon?
I took your advice and I ordered a lulav and esrog yesterday.
So did I. I really think there's no choice this year. I really think there's no choice this year, and be very, very careful. In any case, the rate of sick people are going up, and the situation is not getting better. So everything we spoke about, to my dismay, may become true in the next few weeks. So therefore, I think it's very important that we speak about Sukkot, and to be more precise, the Sukkah, because I believe that whatever reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu had, and I wasn't on the editorial board to know, but whatever reason he had, he decided that Sukkot is going to be 4 days after Yom Kippur. So we don't have a lot of time to get ready. And I don't mean get ready in terms of building a sukkah. I'm talking about get ready to learn the laws of Sukkot. We have a month at least before Rosh Hashanah. Let's assume that if part of that month you're in vacation, because it's August, you'll have 2 weeks. Yom Kippur, you have a full week. And then comes Sukkot 4 days, and within those 4 days, if there's a Shabbos or whatnot, you have barely any time. And it's my hobby, and I say this with great gloom in my heart. It's my hobby to walk around and to drive around Chol HaMoed Sukkot and to see various sukkahs that are kosher, and unfortunately, to see the opposite. And these are not being built by apikorsim. These are not people that wake up in the morning and say, I want to build a non-kosher sukkah. You know, like the famous apikoris that said, I would like to eat pig on Yom Kippur, shechal yelf b'Shabbos. He's a Talmud Chacham enough to know that there's a law of kimlei b'darab aminei. You only get punished for the worst sin of the three. And he knows he's not going to have it so terrible. I'm not talking about those kinds of people. People that build sukkahs today care about halacha. People that build sukkahs today would like to have kosher sukkahs. But unfortunately, there's a lot of words out there that fly around sukkahs time that they don't know. So let's talk about the basics, and we'll see how far we get. One, how many walls does a sukkah need to have?
Can I say something?
Sure.
Okay. You know, at one time, we only had celebrated Rosh Hashanah 1 day. And then the rabbi said we could have 2 days. And then in 1946, a bunch of rabbis got together and they wanted to do away with the second day. But the reform came and made 1 day.
Okay,
you get it what I said?
Yeah, you muted in the middle, but we understood. In any case, Baruch Hashem, today Rosh Hashanah is 2 days, as Chazal wanted, and Bezrat Hashem will celebrate it properly. But as we get to Sukkot, how many walls does a sukkah need? The answer is three. We need 3 walls. So if you have a 3-walled sukkah and you have schach connecting to all the walls, you're fine. The shear's over. Now here comes the problem this year. Sukkot is not a time where we usually shoo guests out of our sukkahs. We are building sukkahs outside. Many of us are building it in such a way that we'd like people to come in. And obviously, if social distancing allows it, then I believe that this year you have to be extremely careful. And indeed, I believe it's the year to utilize a lot of the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, laws that Moshe Rabbeinu got at Sinai, that are applicable. So if indeed there's a need to have more people in a sukkah than less, say you're in a public sukkah, you're living in an apartment building, it's important not only have social distancing, but perhaps this year to know that indeed you do not need 3 full walls all the way up to the schach. And let's explain. Everybody knows. How many walls does a sukkah need minimum? Don't all say it at once. How many walls does a sukkah need at minimum?
2.5.
2.5.
Okay, let's be very precise because I've seen sukkahs that are puzzle because of it. Everyone knows that you need shnayim v'shlishit afilu tefach. You can have 2 walls and the 3rd wall just has to be a tefach Why? The tefach, if you want to be machmir like the Chazon Ish, is 10 centimeters wide. That's it. Not very big. As such, people go ahead and they made sukkahs with two walls and a little something. And many a times it's 100% puzzle. Because the two walls have to be in such a way that the third wall is a right angle to one of the walls and less than three tefachim away from it. So, theoretically, if you have two walls, let's say on two sides, the third wall has to come here and it has to be in such a way that it's within three tefachim of one of the walls. It can't just be anywhere in the middle. So that, if you think about it, now you have a rov of a dofen. Because the minimum of a dofen, of a wall of a sukkah, is 7 tefachim. So if you have less than 3 plus the tefach, you have almost 4, which is, as you know, the majority of 7. Even I know that. And therefore, from that perspective, that's the only way it's kosher. You can't just make two walls very far from each other and the third wall somewhere in the middle. So that's very important to know. The second thing that's important to know is that the walls don't have to go all the way up to the schach. If you have three walls, let's say three full walls, they have to be at least 10 tefachim high, because that is the minimum of any sort of a mechitza in halacha. Where else do we find a law that we need to make a wall? Give you a hint, we read it 2 weeks ago. If you listen to the Torah reading, we read it 2 weeks ago. No one listened, I see, because you're outside in the sun, you had a minyan outside, it was hot, the Baal Korah didn't read right, he had a mask on, no one made out the words. But this is not the...
You need walls for an Eruv. Something to that effect.
Great. So Harold says we need walls for an Eruv. So if you need to make an Eruv, forget about how to make an Eruv. The height has to be 10 tefachim high. Very good. Where else do we need walls? Arthur, let's say you have a flat roof. And you like to go up there to talk to your wife so the kids don't listen. And the flat roof is open. What do you have to make there?
At least 10 tefachim high.
Very good. It's called a makeh. You need to make a makeh up on the roof. So we talked about eruv. We spoke about makeh. Where else do we need a wall in halacha? A partition between two opposites. I'm going to say shul, but that's a controversy. But suffice it to say that Rav Soloveitchik indeed said that in a shul, if indeed b'dieved you can make a very, very high mechitza like Rav Moshe Feinstein up to your shoulders, you can make a mechitza of 10 tefachim, because 10 tefachim is the minimum throughout the Torah. You mentioned makeh, Arthur, Harold mentioned eruv, 10 tefachim high. What about if you have a field and there's two different crops? There's an iser of kilayim. You too have to make a 10 tefachim mechitza. So as you can see, throughout halacha, very consistently, a wall has to be at least 10 tefachim high. 10 tefachim high, you do 10 times 10, a meter, or 80 centimeters if you want to be mekel. Let's say a meter high. Once you have a meter high, we can pretend that it goes all the way up to the schach, and that's fine. So if you need a spacey, airy sukkah, that could be utilized this year. I'll give you an example where it's utilized every year. If you make walls of wood, like Dr. Daniel has in his sukkah, where I was privileged not only to mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah per se with the mizonos, but I actually fulfilled the Daniel family tradition of watching the movie Airplane in his sukkah. Now you have to know, when Dr. Daniel showed Airplane in his sukkah, we didn't have computers. We didn't watch it on our little phones. He took the TV out, the big TV. Two people had to take it. And then the VCR, remember those things? And that was the first time I said, wow, you actually have to live in the sukkah. I didn't know that. So indeed, I sat in Dr. Daniel's sukkah a few times, and it has wood. So Dr. Daniel now can take a coffee. He doesn't have to listen. But if you don't have wood, let's say you have canvas. Many people have canvas. I think, Dr. Daniel, you had a second sukkah that you called the breakfast sukkah that had canvas. It was like a leftover from Gilo. Oh, my memory still works. Look at that. Halavai ayu shasim poskim, like I remember the stories from your home. Oh. Baruch Hashem. So the breakfast sukkah has canvas. Now, what's the problem with canvas, Harold, in Efrat? Maybe in Woodmere and Cedarhurst you didn't have this problem. Pardon?
Can blow in the wind. Has to be a permanent wall.
Second rule of rules in the sukkah. Ten tefachim high. And number two, it has to be sturdy. How sturdy? That in the normative winds in which you live, it doesn't move. So Arthur lives in Efrat, together with Bruce. With due respect, we at the post, with the exception of this weather, global warming, we on Sukkahs have winds, God bless us. How do you know you have winds? You wake up in the morning, you go to shul, you find tzach on the street. People were machmir to cover the street with tzach. How are they so machmir? Because in the middle of the night a wind came, hop! The tzach went into the street. So in Efrat we have a lot of winds. The walls have to be sturdy not to move in the winds. And if you don't accept the heter of the Chazon Ish, who said, both with regard to sukkah and Eruv, that as long as the wall doesn't move three tefachim each time, and that's a lot, that's 24 centimeters, or according to the Chazon Ish, 30 centimeters, it's okay. But if you want it to be sturdy, not like the Chazon Ish's kula, canvas is a problem. So, because it's a problem, what did they do in the last few years? See, the canvas people, they don't want to sell a sukkah just according to the Chazon Ish. Everybody knows there's the chumrah of the Chazon Ish, and we don't like that. And there's the kula of the Chazon Ish, and some people don't like that either. As my Rebbe and mentor Rav Amital used to say, you have to give a kula sha'atzibur yachol la'amoto. You know, you can't give a kula that people can't stand. I just was privileged, together with Rabbi Brander, to come out with an abridged machzer last week for Rosh Hashanah. And Baruch Hashem, we're getting wonderful feedback, but certain people were offended that we cut the holy machzer. We didn't do it with glee. We didn't do it out of joy. We did it because of necessity. So it was a kula, you know, make davening shorter, sha'atzibur lo yachol la'amoto. Now, people, the canvas people, they can't sell sukkahs if only the Chazon Ish gives a hechsher. They need to sell a sukkah that everybody gives a hechsher. Right? Everyone needs to eat glatt kosher meat because there's a percentage of society that won't eat non-glatt kosher meat. So what do? They utilize this idea of a ten tefachim high. Did you ever see what they did? Anyone have a canvas sukkah? Can they tell us? Anyone?
I had a canvas sukkah. I had no problem with it because I tied it on every 5 or 6 inches. I had no problem with it.
Yeah, but Irving, you're an amazing person. You probably were in the Boy Scouts. You know how to make a good kesher. You know, a kesher that you chayev on Shabbos if you tie it.
I'm an engineer. That's why I do it.
You're an engineer. You see? I'm a novice. I tie and I do and I this and I that and it still comes off. So the norm, the people out there, the Amcha Beit Yisrael, the flesh and blood people like me, so this is what they sell today. It's called Alavud string. What do? They utilize these two rules. Rule number one, if you have a wall, you don't have to have a solid wall. You can have a wall 10 tefachim high, in which every less than 3 tefachim, there's a gap. So what do? There's a string around the sukkah, from the bottom all the way up to 10 tefachim, in between string and string, less than 3. And now you've utilized 2 halacha l'moshes misinais. Alavud, less than 3 is considered our partition, closed. And good asik, which means, now that it's 10, it goes all the way up to the roof. Then you put up your canvas only for show, only for privacy. But the actual walls is this string going around. So what did we say until now? We said 3 things. Number one, if you're going to make a sukkah of only 2 walls in Shlishit Afilu Tefach, consult a rabbi how to do it. Many of the sukkahs are just pasul midoraisa. People make leishe basukkah, and they are not only eating outside of a sukkah, they're making a bracha levatala. Number two, the walls don't have to go up to the schach all the way, 10 tefachim high, you're scot-free. And number three, even the wall itself can have gaps. If between gaps, there's less than 3 tvachim, which is called a lavut. Okay? So we just explained three laws of sukkah called Shnayim v'shlishit afilu tefach, two lavud, and three gudasik. Okay? Now, rule number four. You have to have three walls, and as I said, it doesn't have to go all the way up to the ceiling. But, who's on this? Alex is here. But, it has to go directly above the walls. Namely, you can't have a wall over here, and the schach is over here. The schach has to go directly above. So, see my cell phone. Pretend this is a wall of the sukkah. You can't have a wall over here, and the schach far away from it. It has to be directly above. So you have sukkahs where people put the schach in the middle, and the wall's over there. That's puzzle. The wall and the schach have to be above each other. They don't have to reach, but they have to be directly above. So Harold mentioned an Erev. So we utilize this. We have 10 tfachim high, a pole, you call a lechi, and then where is the top? Because an Erev has to always be Kanemikan, the canal gabo. So once upon a time, you looked up, you said, oh, it's above. Today, Baruch Hashem, technology, we don't look, we don't see. I'll give you a story to illustrate it. I was once in Rosh HaNikra. Does everyone know where Rosh HaNikra is? Bruce, you're a Madrich Tiulim. Bruce knows where Rosh HaNikra is. It's on the beach, the Mediterranean Sea. Now, I don't know Israel. Bruce knows more in one pinky than I know about Israel. Okay? I, unfortunately, will give Din the Cheshbon one day if the Yerushalmi says that, unfortunately, I did not get Yiras Hashem by going on Tiyulim. I go on Tiyulim, I kvetch. It's too hot, it's too cold. The water's not cold enough that I brought. I'm always a kvetch. Okay, for me, I hate to say this, but on my grave, I'm sure my family were right. Ashrei Yoshvei Beitecha. I will not translate. But, as a father, as a husband, they forced me to a tiyul. So I'm out there, I'm in a tiyul, and we're on Rosh HaNikra, it's getting close to the end of Mincha time. And when you go on a tiyul, suffice it to say other people are on vacation, there's a whole bunch of religious Jews, can we make a minyan? Let's make a minyan. So you know, you make a minyan, I'm always very upset because people come to minyan in various dresses. Some people are wearing short pants, even though they usually don't. I'm not talking about people that wear it every day, I'm talking about people that usually don't. They're wearing short pants, they didn't have a kippah on, so they put a towel on their head, they took the tzitzis that they put somehow half on them, half off. Now we're making a minyan. And then someone says, should we make a mincha k'tzara, hecha kedusha? We're close to shkia. And this is what happens. Every time Dick and Harry wipes out their phone, oh, let's see when shkia is. Now this is Rosh HaNikra. You're looking at the sun. You're looking at the sun setting. So I look like a goy on a tiyul. I say, well, the sun didn't set yet. Look right here. What are you looking at the B'nai Brak time? At the Tzmat time, the sun didn't set yet. And this is the answer I got. What do you know? So, same thing happens today with a Reuven. There's no longer a situation where you look up, oh, it looks above. They use a laser gun. And they put it up, oh, it's above, it's not above, they adjust it. Same thing with the sukkah. I don't think you need a laser gun. Derachea darchinoam lo mitna torah l'malachea sharei. But you have to make sure that to the naked eye, the schach is above the walls, not in the middle. So rule number four, the schach has to be around the three walls. If it's not, and there's more than three tfachim, again, the three tfachim rule, you have a problem. If it's less, you have less of a problem. Rule number four, if you utilize all these rules, you make a very airy sukkah, so 10 tefachim high, not a wall all the way up, maybe even the wall itself has gaps. What's going to happen in your sukkah? You're going to have a lot of sun. What's the law with regard to sun in the sukkah? You know, a good sukkah has bees and sun. A bad sukkah has rain, right? Alright, what's the problem with sun in the sukkah? Bruce, you remember when you learned Daf Yomi Sukkah? Can you tell us?
It should be less
more shade than sun.
More shade than sun. More shade than sun is on the schach. Doesn't necessarily have to be on the ground. There's a machlokes. But there's been many sukkahs where, as the saying goes, they're cheap on the schach. So therefore you have a sukkah where, unfortunately, the more shade than sun doesn't apply, and there's more sun than shade, and the sukkah could be puzzle. So you have to not mince on the schach. And there's many good schachs today that you can put on your sukkah. Yes, a machlokas about the mats. Yes, a machlokas about various things. The most important thing to remember is there is what to rely on every one of those schachs. Make sure you have more shade than sun. So even if your sukkah looks beautiful, if there's less shade than sun, it's puzzle. So especially if you're going to make an airy sukkah, it's important to remember that. Okay? Great. Let's go one step further. I am assuming this year that many people won't be comfortable to eat in a public sukkah. You know, social distancing, germs, people are taking off masks to eat. And indeed, I find it legitimate that many, many of people are going to build sukkahs that they've never done before. So we mentioned many people are going to blow shofar. They never blew shofar before. They're going to build sukkahs. Now, they don't need a big sukkah. They need a small sukkah for them, maybe for him and his wife. Gentlemen, how big does a sukkah have to be minimum? Minimum.
It's a machlokas.
It is a machlokas. What do we paskin?
It's shalai beishevo.
Excellent. And how do we paskin, Harold? Do you remember?
You have to put your table in your head. Your head and body has to fit in.
First of all, we paskin like Beit Shammai. Not sure why. But this is one of the rare cases we paskin like Beit Shammai. And he says you need to have the following. You need to have a sukkah that's big enough that you could sit in it with a small table. Not sit in it, but the small tables in the house. You know, you're like right outside your porch. There's like a big little tiny opening. And you're sitting there outside under the schach and your table's in the house. Because we're worried, says Beit Shammai, that when the table moves, you'll move with it. You know what happens. People sit down at the table. They move the table to them. You move it to you. A little tug of war. Eventually, you're inside the house. So Beit Hillel says, due respect, it's not going to happen. A big dining room table doesn't move. But we paskin like Beit Shammai on this. As a matter of fact, there's a very, very problematic Tosvot. Second daf in Mesechet Sukkah on the bottom. You can look it up. Amud Aleph. It's Gimel Amud Aleph of Mesechet Sukkah. That says, whoever has a sukkah where his table can't fit in it, but it's in the house and he's outside, he didn't fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah mideoraisa. So even though this was Beit Shammai's chiddush, Tosfos says mideoraisa, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. Very problematic, because it was Beit Shammai's invention. How come he says mideoraisa? I understand mideRabbanan, but why mideoraisa? So I once heard from Rav Osher Weiss the following. He said, you mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa, but you get no sachar in shamayim because you didn't listen to the rabbis. Very, very interesting chap on that tosfot. From our perspective, suffice it to say, you need to have a sukkah that's big enough that you can sit in it with a small TV table. You know, when you give this shir to people that say watching TV is an isser, don't use the word TV table. Small coffee table. Okay? Small shtender. Let's say shtender. We'll be frum this morning. Okay? This way Bruce doesn't shut us off. He feels frum. A shtender. You got it? So you got a shtender. It's personal shtender. You put on it your plate. It has to be zayin al zayin. 7 tvachim by 7 tvachim. 7 times 10. 70 centimeters by 70 centimeters. That's the square that you minimally need for a sukkah. So if you want to build a small sukkah, that's what you do. If you want to build a small sukkah that your wife and your kids can obviously sit with you, then indeed it should be bigger. All right? So we went through the basic laws of building a sukkah. The walls don't need to reach the schach, but have to be 10 tvachim high. The walls don't have to be complete if there's less than 3 tvachim between each part of the wall. And finally, you need to have 3 walls. The schach needs to reach all of them. And you have to have more shade than sun. And zayin al zayin is the minimum. Now, what do we have to do in the sukkah? I live on the top floor, so I'm not so worried about what I'm going to do in the sukkah. But if you live on the bottom floor, if you live in a place where there's a lot of sukkahs, germs can, you know, fly. So first and foremost, pikuach nefesh is docha everything, including the mitzvah of sukkah. But if there's no pikuach nefesh, what are the things you need to do in there? So Baruch Hashem, we have a kosher sukkah, and we're sitting in there on the first night of sukkahs, and we're eating dinner. And it didn't rain. What do we have to do in there? You have to eat?
Make a bracha, lay shaver sukkah.
Okay, what do you need to eat in the sukkah? You have to eat meals in the sukkah. If you want to have a chumrah, a snack, that's a mizonos. You have to drink in the sukkah? The answer is no. And the answer to all of this is there's no rules.
If you're drinking wine, you would have to do it in the sukkah.
We'll get to that in a moment, Harold. But let's put basics on the table. You have to do in the sukkah what you usually do at home and not on the go. What does that mean? You usually do at home as you sleep. You eat big meals. You don't necessarily eat snacks at home. And therefore, you don't need to eat snacks in your sukkah. You don't necessarily eat potato chips only in the house, so you can eat it outside the sukkah. So the rule of the sukkah is doing it what you usually do at home, with the exception of dvarim shel bizayon. Namely, you don't take a shower in the sukkah. But you do everything you usually do at home that's not bizayon. Namely, if you're fully dressed, you eat, you drink, and you sleep. Now, you read a newspaper at home, it has to be in the sukkah. You learn on a Shabbos afternoon in your study, you should do it in the sukkah unless you can't concentrate. Now, Harold just said, okay, I understand. Big meals, main meals in the sukkah. Snacks outside the sukkah. Where do you put wine? Now, why did Harold bring up wine for us? Why is wine different from all other beverages? Because you don't understand Harold's question, I want to give the background. Wine is different from all other beverages, first of all, because it has its own bracha, a borei pri hagefen, not a shahakol. All the rest, we say, God, you created the world in the way you wanted it. Period. Wine, borei pri hagefen, its own bracha. Number two, if you drink wine, you don't have to make a bracha on any other beverages during that meal. Number three, you know, it's part of the Shiva Saminim, and you make a bracha achrona. So says Harold, wait, wine is so special. There is a daya in the Gaonim, that on Shabbos morning, when you need Kiddush, Bimkom Seuda, you don't need to eat a full meal. You don't even need to eat a mizonos. What do you need? A reviyat of wine. Good enough. So if a reviyat of wine...
You do that also if you don't eat kabrach, and you make Kiddush.
I would say, Harold, if you need to. Namely, best is to make Kiddush and wash, and make hamotzi on the matzah. But if you eat kibroch, if you don't eat kibroch, you got yourself a problem.
What if you're making kiddush on Pesach itself? You don't, on Erev Pesach, which is this year on Shabbos.
Very good.
You don't have mizonos. If you have the yayin, then you don't say kovei tzuda.
So indeed, Harold says, this coming year, if Mashiach doesn't come, if the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt, and they don't mekadesh the chodesh al piyariya, then the calendar dictates that Erev Pesach will be on Shabbos. Erev Pesach on Shabbos, we'll get to it, it's a whole ordeal. But one of the many issues is you can't eat chametz after the fourth hour. You need to make Kiddush. Kiddush needs to be from Kom Seuda. You can't eat matzah because it's Erev Pesach. So how do you do Kiddush from Kom Seuda? And the answer Harold gives us is, well, let's utilize what we put on in the bottom of the shelf, this Gaonim that says, if you make Kiddush on wine and you drink an extra reviyat, you got yourself a Kiddush from Kom Seuda. Right? So, indeed, I was a rabbi in hotels on Pesach. After shul, I announced it's going to be a Kiddush. And please make sure to drink, not just what you usually drink at Kiddush, a cheekful, but you should drink a reviyat and an extra, because it's Kiddush from Kom Seuda. So if wine equals Seuda, maybe you have to eat it, drink it in the sukkah, because it's a Seuda, it's not a snack. That's the basis of Harold's question. Harold, the Mishnah Berurah says, or Suffolk in the Mishnah Berurah, that you need to do Havdalah in the sukkah. Kiddush we're probably going to make in the sukkah anyway, because we're going to eat a mizonos. And that's the chumrah of most people. But Havdalah, and wine in general, However, you should know that I heard from Av Schechter that when he was growing up, in many shuls in Chutz Laaretz, they made Kiddush and Shul on Friday night, like the Ramah says to do, like one of the Deotim Shulchan Aruch say to do. And indeed, you should know that they made it in Shul, even on Sukkot. They didn't machmir for this Mishnah Berurah with this Gaon. And he says, all year long, when we make Kiddush from Kom Seuda, we use a piece of cake, a boreka, or we wash, all of a sudden on Sukkot, we're machmir for this Gaonim. So he didn't exactly lose sleep on it. Okay, so that's with regard to that. Now comes one of the things that I've seen on Sukkot so many times.
Wait a minute, I have a question. For Havdalah on Sukkot, if you make Havdalah in the Sukkah, then you wouldn't, you make a late Shabbat Sukkah or not?
We'll get to that now. We mentioned all the things you need to do in the Sukkah, and there's an Isser Asay to not to do it outside the Sukkah. A nap is usser outside the Sukkah, as well as eating outside the Sukkah, unless it's warranted. You're sick, you're a mitzta'er, it's raining, but if not, it should be in the Sukkah. Okay. There's a beautiful chumrah wrote in the Mishnah Berurah, wrote in the Shulchan Aruch, pardon me, that even drinking water in the Sukkah is a nice idea. But that's a chumrah. If you're on a tiyul, no one's going to say, no, get dehydrated till you get to a Sukkah. But a nice chumrah if you're at home drinking the Sukkah, go inside. Okay. Gentlemen, when do you make the bracha of Leishev Basukkah? I have to say, this is a $1 million question. And I'm going to be honest with everyone. I have not to date seen an answer to this question. And I'll explain why. The Mishnah, the Gemara never says, if you eat this much, make a Leishev. If you eat less, don't. It's not like matzah, kezayit. Rather, it's whatever you usually do at home, do in the Sukkah. So there's a machloket rishonim, eventually achronim, okay, Rabbeinu Tam on the one hand, other points of view on the other. Usually it says like this, it's the minhag versus the gro. I'll just make it simple, because that's what people say. The minhag is, you only make a leishev basukkah when? Not when you sleep in the sukkah, not when you read a newspaper in there, not when you host guests in there. All these things we usually do at home that you have to do in the sukkah, don't make a bracha. When do we make a leishev basukkah? When we're about to eat a meal. Even on wine, many people would say, no leishev basukkah, that's a machlokes if it's a seuda. Do it in sukkah, don't make a bracha. But when it comes to eating, that's when we make leishev. Anything else, we don't. Comes along the gra and says, what are you talking about? The minute you go into the sukkah and you sit down on the chair, just like you do when you come home, let's say you come home from Shul Shabbos morning, you sit down on the chair, and you start complaining about the chazanim and davening. You know, like the chazanim that make you cry. So, if that's what you usually do at home, and you're doing it in the sukkah, says the gra, that's a kiyum of living in the sukkah. What you usually do at home, you do in the sukkah. Maybe you shouldn't speak Lashon Hara all year, but we'll leave that aside for a moment. If indeed you come home Shabbos morning, you plop into your chair, and you complain, and now you're doing it in the sukkah, why don't you make a bracha? You only make a bracha when you eat, he says. Anything you're supposed to do in the sukkah, you make a bracha. So the minute he came into a sukkah, he would say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, etc. Leishev Basukkah. I will tell you that my Rebbe and mentor, Rav Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik, Livracha, did exactly the same thing. He came in, he made a leishev. Didn't wait till he eats. Now, even if you go with the minhag that you only make a leishev when you eat, that's true when you're about to eat. You're planning to eat in an hour. But if you're going into the sukkah, you're not planning to eat. Now you ate your breakfast, you left for a meeting, you came back. You're going to sit in there, you're going to go on your computer, you're going to listen to a shir, or you're going to read the newspaper, or you're going to read the gossip on Facebook, whatever you usually do at home, you're doing it now in the sukkah. Then you should make a leishev because you're not planning to eat. This machlokas is only if you're planning to eat. But if you're not planning to eat, make a leishev right now. So, if you're coming home from shul Shabbos morning, and you've plopped down in that chair, and you're planning to eat within a half an hour or 45 minutes, then you don't have to make a leishev right away. But if you're not planning to eat within the next short time, then you make a leishev. Now here comes the $1 million question. How many leishevs do you make per day? Here, if anyone has an answer, wake me up in the middle of the night ring and ring and ring and tell me the answer. I have not gotten an answer to this, and I've asked many rabbanim, and everyone kvetches something like I'm about to kvetch to you, but doesn't really know. If I come home from shul, cholamot, and I'm not planning no tiyul, nothing, and I come into my sukkah, and I eat breakfast, I make a leishev, I bench, I sing the samachta b'chagecha, one of the most stupidest songs I've ever heard, because quite frankly, the pasuk says the opposite of the song. The samachta b'chagecha, the song goes, v'ayita ach sameach, be happy and be happier. You know what the pasuk says? Anyone? Parsha Frey, tip end, v'samachta b'chagecha, who? You, your wife, your kids, don't forget the ger, yatom, almana, all the people that we forget about. Doesn't say, be happy and happier and forget about everyone. But we all sing the song. Minhagam Yisrael is to sing it. So you sing your v'samachta b'chagecha. And then you go outside for a jog. Okay. You finish your jog, you come home, you take a shower, you go back into the sukkah. Do you make a leishev? Is that a hefsek? Question number two. I'm in the sukkah, excuse me, I have to go relieve myself. I relieve myself, I come back in. Do I make another leishev? Is that a hefsek or not a hefsek? Nobody...
It would be a hefsek because it's similar, for example, if you have to go to the bathroom and you're wearing a towel, you don't make enough bracha on the towel again.
Not simple, Harold, not simple. If you look on Shulchan Aruch, you'll see it's not simple that when you come out of the bathroom, you don't make another bracha. The Ramah Paskins, if you have a talis cotton on, then don't make another bracha. If you have das to put it back on, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't agree. So if you take your tefillin off, for sure you make another bracha.
What about Suffolk bracha tlahakel?
Suffolk bracha tlahakel is when you have a suffolk if you need to make a bracha. In this case, everyone agrees. You're supposed to make a bracha, just I don't know what a hefsek is. What's a hefsek? If I go inside to wash the dishes from breakfast or from lunch, and I come back in. So I went, not to the bathroom, I went to the sink and I washed dishes. Is that a hefsek or not? That's an answer. Every sukkah I'm left with, and I leave you with it as it's 10 o'clock. If I find a good answer, I will tell you at 2 o'clock in the morning. But if you find a good answer, wake me up. I won't wake you up. I'll write a WhatsApp, but you'll see it in the morning. You wake me up. I want to hear someone found a achron that says, this is the hefsek, 5 minutes. Because I am very weary. As a matter of fact, every time I come back into the sukkah and there's something I did in between, I'm always worried. Is it a hefsek or not? Maybe I should make another bracha. What a beautiful yontif. We can make so many brachas and we don't. On the other hand, if we make too many brachas, it's a bracha levatola. With this, I leave you hanging.
I have a question to ask you.
Okay, you'll have to ask me in private because Rabbi Zeff is on the line. God willing, next week I will speak about Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos and how we have a very unique year. Bruce, I want you to write on the schedule for next week. Don't write Corona, don't write High Holidays. I want you to write the following. Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, Babylonian or Jerusalem experience. Stay tuned.
Send me that text, please. Thank you.
Well, that wasn't clear enough. No, I'm joking. I'll send it to you. Okay, have a good day, everyone. Take care.